What are the Boston Celtics' motivations, and can Ime Udoka make a meaningful connection with his team? We're going to talk about it right now on the Locked On Celtics podcast. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whether you're listening on a podcast through your headphones or watching the YouTube videos. I really do appreciate you checking in on a daily basis, Monday through Friday. Very happy that you've chosen the Locked On Celtics podcast, a free daily podcast here for you across all platforms. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Boston Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, which you can get anywhere books are sold, and on my website, johncorrales.com, for $30. Today, I'm going to get into whether Ime Udoka can make a meaningful connection with his team. That's coming up in the third segment. I'm going to spend the first two segments looking at what the Boston Celtics' actual motivations this season might be. These are things that I've written about on Boston Sports Journal, part of my 20 questions series for Boston Sports Journal all month long. 20 questions on the Boston Celtics for this upcoming season. Not really answering, necessarily providing a series of potential answers, but 20 questions that really impact what the Celtics are going to be, who they might be, moves they're going to make. There's a lot here. And these two I wrote about separately. So if you want to read more about them, go to bostonsportsjournal.com, subscribe, and get those. But I wanted to talk a little bit about it here on the podcast because I do think these are interesting questions in that they do shape how Brad Stevens will move forward. So what are this team's motivations? There are, I think, three distinct different motivations that they can come into the season with. Do they come in thinking that they have a puncher's chance, and maybe that impacts how they're going to move? Do they want to be in just complete evaluation mode? This season is something that I've brought up. I think that they will be just evaluating talent all season long, not punting this season, still trying to win, but doing things that can are more motive, not evaluational than anything else. And are they just going to emphasize on development, that we need to develop these young guys because they might be potential building blocks of our future or our trade or something like that? So if they've got a puncher's chance, that's going to impact things in that Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown may end up playing more minutes. They're obviously going to be the focus of everything no matter what. But if the team comes in and thinks, look, we have an outside chance, right? We know going into the season, Milwaukee and Brooklyn are going to be the two top teams in the East, probably Brooklyn first, then Milwaukee, and then Boston fits somewhere in that next tier of teams trying to fight for third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, the non-play-in tournament teams. And I think there's just a big jumble in there. And however you want to evaluate all of those teams, you know, it's different for everybody, but Boston has a puncher's chance coming out. What does that mean? That means that if things go right, if Marcus Smart is a good point guard, and if Tatum and Brown make their leaps, as I've mentioned multiple times on this podcast, if a bunch of things go right, if a couple of things go wrong for other teams, Boston's in that mix. And so are they going to operate in the beginning of the season as if that's going to be a possibility? And what does that mean? Well, it might mean that Josh Richardson gets a start, or maybe now it's Juancho Hernangómez, but one of those guys with a proven history of at least success somewhere else. If this is a team that believes it has a puncher's chance, then you're looking at proven guys getting the minutes. Dennis Schroeder maybe getting more minutes, maybe fewer minutes for Peyton Pritchard, or maybe more situational minutes for Peyton Pritchard. Maybe it means no opportunity for Romeo Langford to get his developmental time. Or maybe it means that Romeo goes to the G League. Maybe Grant Williams becomes an odd man out. Maybe what Ime Udoka does is focus on, let's establish these potential, not stars, but these potential high-end role players to accentuate the stars, because we know that Richardson has a history in Miami, that that Juancho has a history of when he starts or plays 25 plus minutes, that he can be a good stretch four, at least offensively. He knows that he can recapture that. That's known entities there. And so if you think you have a puncher's chance, then maybe you want to push for that, especially if you think, hey, maybe Brooklyn is going to kind of coast a little bit to start the season. Maybe Milwaukee, because it's such a short turnaround for a couple of key players there. Remember Middleton and Drew Holiday. First of all, everybody played into July, which is later than anybody has played by a month plus. And then you add the Olympics on top of that to Middleton and Drew Holiday. And now you're starting again at the end of September. That's not much downtime. Maybe Milwaukee's going to say, not punt the regular season, but we're happy being the 3 seed. We're fine being the 3 seed. Don't worry about that. That then there's an opportunity there for somebody to elevate somewhere. So if the Celtics see that and kind of see an opportunity here to, hey, let's make an early run. Let's make a mad dash to try and get as many wins as possible. Let's really focus on piling up the wins, maybe spending a little bit of time at the top of the standings in first. And you say, whatever we can build, then maybe if it gets chipped away later, the fall from 1 to 3 is a lot different than the fall from 3 to 6, right? So if you feel like that's your chance, it does change the lineups. It changed a lot of how Ime Udoka handles the team. It changes maybe Brad Stevens' motivation at the trade deadline. Maybe he's looking for help around this team. If he sees a small window for a potential run at an improbable, yes, but potential run for a championship, if he sees that window of opportunity, maybe at the trade deadline he goes for it. Got to be careful, though, because if you shoot too early, you're going to blow the whole thing. So there's a real risk there, but that can change things. Now, if they're in full evaluation mode, then that means more experimentation. Okay, Josh Richardson here as a starter. Maybe Josh Richardson plus this lineup. Let's see how that works. And you're trying to figure out which guys, which lineups play better together. That might mean less time for Dennis Schroeder because, yeah, you know, we talked about the what do they owe each other episode, but maybe the Celtics just say, hey, man, we signed you. These are going to be your minutes. If you don't like it, tough. You just make the most of it when you get there. We've got other things. They don't owe Dennis Schroeder 25 minutes because they happen to get him at a bargain, right? They might not feel like they owe him that. And, hey, they probably don't. But if they're in an evaluation mode, then that might mean let's try Peyton Pritchard running the show. Can he in his second year really be a point guard? Maybe you don't overlap Smart and Schroeder, and you want to have some time out there with Pritchard. Or maybe you decide let's throw Nesmith in there and start a couple of games with Nesmith. Let's see what we can do with Grant. Let's see what we can do with Romeo, in the sense of combinations that might work. Maybe you're trying to build some guys up. The evaluation of this team, if this whole season is, can Marcus Smart really truly be a point guard? And you want to evaluate that before you say, all right, yeah, we locked him up for 4 years, but 4 more years, but we can move him. And if he can't be your starting point guard, then he becomes probably tradable, or maybe more likely to be traded, because you need somebody who can run the show and you don't want to pay what you're paying Marcus Smart. Or maybe you just say, hey, we're going to be happy to move Marcus Smart back over to his 2-3 stretch six position, and we'll just have to find another point guard somehow. It changes, this evaluation mode changes Brad Stevens' moves at the deadline. Again, the deadline is a recurring theme here. What does he do at the deadline with the trade exceptions that he has? What does he do? Who does he keep? Who fails their evaluation and gets moved? What does he do in that mode? It's not the puncher's chance mode where you're bringing guys in. Maybe you're swapping certain skill sets out. You're making more lateral moves, the win-win moves for each other, for each team, where you say, okay, this is just a bad fit. Let's try this other guy here. And you're evaluating what guys can truly accentuate Tatum and Brown. Instead of kind of waiting to see, maybe go for it this year, you see which guys have these skill sets. Is it going to be Hernan Gomez? Is it going to be Richardson? And you play them at different times. You play them with different combinations. That's just experimentation, data gathering, and then you're really, your focus truly 100% is somewhere else for this season. And if, hey, something happens that changes things, something happens that changes things. I'll talk more about that next, along with what happens when the Celtics, if they decide to emphasize development, if that's a motivation for them. After I tell you about Sweatblock. Sweatblock is an answer for excessive perspiration. Everybody sweats. Some people sweat more than others. Some people sweat when they get nervous. Some people, when they start talking, they can't help it. No matter, even if it's cold, you start. You know how that is. If you're one of those people, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You don't like talking about that stuff. That's okay. Sweatblock can help you. You just take your shower, wipe it on, go to sleep. When you come out in the morning, wake up, wash it off, boom. Up to seven days of protection. For some people, that is a godsend. That's going to help a lot of people out in a lot of ways. It's your little secret to confidence. You can end up wearing what you want to wear. You don't have to worry about blotches on your shirt because of your sweat showing up. Google it. Check out the video of firefighters testing it on the Rachel Ray Show. They've shown that it works. They've shown that it works extraordinarily well. But if it doesn't work for you, there's a dry shirt guarantee. If it doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. It's been a bestseller on Amazon for 10 years with over 13,000 reviews. Go read them and then go to sweatblock.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off, or pick some up at Amazon or CVS. Today's show also brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Tell me if this sounds familiar. You've got one device that you watch the game live. Second device that lets you stream your favorite shows. Then you're watching highlights on your phone and you've got somebody else's login for the good stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Hey, make sure you're checking out the Locked On NBA podcast, which I host with Jake Madison of Locked On Pelicans on Wednesdays. Hey, today's Wednesday, so we've done our Locked On NBA show. It's hot takes. I'm not a hot take guy. Jake's not a hot take guy. We decided to have some fun with some hot takes, including LeBron being washed, including the Brooklyn Nets potentially fizzling, and others. So make sure you go check out Locked On NBA. Back to the Celtics' motivations and a possible motivation to make sure they develop guys. And there could be some of that going on here. And maybe that's not their only motivation, like a rebuilding team, but they may say that, You've got Peyton Pritchard, Aaron Nesmith, Romeo Langford, Grant Williams, four guys that to varying degrees have the potential to play important roles on the team. Not all of them, probably, but at least a couple, maybe three of them, have the potential to play important roles. So you have to develop these guys. You have to make sure you've got two second-year guys in Pritchard and Nesmith. You got a third-year guy in Grant Williams, but two of his seasons have been blasted away by COVID, and you've got Romeo Langford, who is a third-year guy, might as well be a second-year guy considering all of the injuries in this first year and COVID last year and all of that. You want to find out what you have there. So if there is an emphasis on development, if the motivation this season partly is to develop guys, then that means they will find 20 to 25 minutes for Peyton Pritchard. They will find 20 to 25 minutes for Aaron Nesmith. They will find opportunities for Romeo Langford to go out there and play. Same thing for Grant Williams. They will find those minutes for these guys because they need to figure out, hey, do we have cheap options right now that can actually support Tatum and Brown more than they've shown so far? And you're probably watching and saying about one of these guys, no, he sucks, get rid of him. But you don't know 100% yet because you don't know what it's like under Udoka. You don't know what it's like with this current team. You don't know what it's like with Tatum and Brown making this next step without Kemba Walker, without a lot of these other circumstances. Things change from season to season, and guys grow at different rates. So it's possible that Romeo Langford has something that he hasn't shown us. And so if there is a focus on this development, maybe the Celtics go out there and they try to find minutes for these guys, which means the opposite of what I was saying in the first segment, which may mean less time for Dennis Schroeder. Again, less time for Josh Richardson, less time for Juancho Hernangómez. That instead of 25 minutes, you get 20. Instead of 30 minutes, you get 25. And you're trying to rob minutes here to try and say, okay, here's, we figured out 17 minutes for Peyton Pritchard. Go take your 17 minutes. Make the most of them. But we're taking minutes away from other guys so you can go out there and show us what you got. And then from there, the Celtics can decide, we're not going to pick up somebody's option. Maybe we're going to trade somebody. There are ways to move on from certain players, but they need to know who these young guys really, really are and how much they can contribute because those are cheap options. Remember that mailbag episode when somebody asked, why do the Brooklyn Nets get to spend, spend, spend? Why do some teams get to spend, spend, spend? And the Celtics don't seem to be able to. Well, it's situations like this. The Celtics could be in that position 2-3 years from now when, let's say, hey, how does a team like the Celtics get Tatum and Brown? You have Marcus Smart making his money, Robert Williams making his money, and yet they still manage to pay Peyton Pritchard and Aaron Nesmith and Romeo Langford and Josh Richardson. Now they've got $9 million or $8 million, however much money the mid-level is to spend on this guy. How do they keep doing it? Well, the homegrown talent is how you keep doing it. And if those guys end up making more in their second contracts, you've got bird rights and you can start spending money. If you figure it out now, then you can figure out later who to keep, how much to spend, and you could become a team that has an embarrassment of riches. Or they just don't pan out and whatever. Then you move on from a few guys and that's it. So the emphasis on development, also important. There is a way to mix all of these. It's not necessarily one or the other. It could be some mixture of both. It could also be something that changes on the fly. They could come in saying, well, we want to evaluate and develop, and we're not worried about what our championship chances are right now. Right now, it's Udoka is getting his feet wet as a head coach, and I'm going to talk about that in the next segment. It's let's see where Jalen and Jason can go if they have next steps. Can Rob stay healthy? Where can he go? All of that stuff that I've been talking about and writing about. And then in December, January, they can say, hey, you know, we've been evaluating, but Kevin Durant just went down with a knee sprain and he's going to be out for a few weeks. Or Milwaukee seems to be kind of lethargic and they're dropping to like third or fourth. They just are kind of slow. And that hangover, that championship hangover is really bad with a short turnaround. Or Philly still hasn't figured out what to do with Ben Simmons, or the trade that they did make for Ben Simmons just didn't work, and that whole thing is starting to crumble a little bit. Any one of those things can present themselves, and the Celtics can go from evaluation mode and development mode to, hey, you know what? We're magically somehow the second seed after all of this. Let's just go for it right now, because you never know when a championship window suddenly opens. And you know what? A couple of guys have impressed us. We have an opportunity to go out and maybe get this guy, this other guy at the deadline. We're going to do that. And we're going to go for it. We're just going to make our run now and hopefully not screw up the chances to make a run down in the future. So motivations can change on the fly. Brad Stevens can be like, hey, or it could go the other way around. They could say, hey, we tried this punch. We think we had a puncher's chance. We thought we did. And then January's rolled around and Brooklyn's on the pace for 72 wins and Milwaukee is back on top and they're firing and Philly has figured out their situation. And we're sitting here in a dogfight with 4, 5, 6, 7 with, you know, Miami and, you know, figure however many other teams, whoever else you have in that mix. The Celtics may sit there and say, going and adding salary now, forget it. We're going to switch into maybe some more development mode. We're going to scale back minutes, you know, as we head into the All-Star break. We're going to start scaling back some guys. We're going to get Pritchard more time, Neesmith more time, and so on. So whatever we see, whatever we recognize from this at the beginning of the season, that's not going to be how it goes the whole season necessarily. Things can change on the fly. Now, part of all of this also depends on how Ime Udoka connects with his team. And that was a separate question that I asked on Boston Sports Journal. I'm going to talk about that a little bit here in the third segment after I talk to you about Built Bar, the best tasting protein bar on the market. It has, they have 9 core flavors, but if you go to built.com, you're going to find all sorts of great products, new flavors, new styles, new options for you. But at the center of it is the Built Bar, which I love. As soon as they became a sponsor, I had some. I was hooked right away. My favorite flavor right now, salted caramel, is great. All of them are delicious. You can get a mixed box where you get 2 of each, and you can figure out which ones you like. 17 to 18 grams of protein in all of these bars. Calories from 130 to 180. 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. They're the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is kind of cool. Go to built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15. You can use it every time. So if you just want to get that mixed box, do it. Just get that one box. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off. You figure out what 2 or 3 flavors you like. If you've got a nut allergy, that's fine. If you're on a keto diet, that's fine. They have options for you. Figure out which ones you like. Go back, stock up, buy 3, 4, 5 boxes. Still use that promo code LOCKED15. You're going to get 15% off every time at built.com. Today's show also brought to you by Bet Online. Football season is back. Kickoff and the opening night is tomorrow night, Thursday night. So go to Bet Online, your number one spot for pro college football. Online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest, world's largest $200,000 NFL survivor contest, all open right now. Head on over, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You're going to get a 100% welcome bonus. 100%. Whatever your first deposit is, you put $200 in, $200 welcome bonus. They match it, so you're winning right away. You can also use the promo code NFL100 to bet on that opening night game tomorrow night. If you lose, $25, up to $25, your wager will be refunded. So check out BetOnline for all of your favorite sports, even your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait. Take advantage of all the great offers at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. I've talked about the team's motivations, but no matter what, they're not going to execute this if Ime Udoka doesn't make a connection with his team. And one of the questions I asked in my 20-question series on Boston Sports Journal, can Ime Udoka truly make a meaningful connection with his team? And I think he can. I think that's his strong suit. That's been what he's been heralded. You know, that's what he's been praised for. So, yeah, I do think that he can make a meaningful connection, but doesn't mean he will. All of these questions that I'm asking, I think certain things are going to happen, but we won't know until the season actually starts. So if Ime Udoka cannot make a meaningful connection, then this all goes nowhere. And what does that mean? I think he's going to get that boost. I've talked about it before on the podcast. I think that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown will buy in initially, right? Because I believe that because they have campaigned so hard for minority candidates to get opportunities in coaching, now that they have a black head coach in Boston, they're going to make sure that they are not the reason. The players being lax or lazy is not going to be the reason for Ime Udoka not working in Boston. If it's not going to work in Boston, it's just going to be because he couldn't figure it out. They're going to do everything they can to avoid that. That's how I think the team is going to be motivated for this upcoming season. So I see that as something that's going to carry the team for at least most of the season. Now, once he has that, he has to show Tatum and Brown that he has the X's and O's and all of that stuff and the ability to talk to them for their individual, you know, they each have individual goals. He's going to have to show them that he is there to discipline the people who need to be disciplined and hold people accountable, all of that stuff. He's going to need to prove to them. They're going to buy in. They're going to show up wide-eyed like a kid at school with a notebook out. Okay, what do you got for me? What are you teaching me? And if he comes out and disappoints, then there's a potential for things to start to go sideways. I don't expect that, but the potential exists. If he can't make that meaningful connection with these guys, if he can't get to Tatum and say, look, man, this is what I need you to be. I need you to be more of a passer or so on and so forth. Jaylen, I need you to be more of a leader and I need you to do X, Y, Z and understand that this is what your role is. Marcus, I need you to stop shooting some of these heat checks and give the ball up. And when you catch the ball in the corner, you can shoot. But let's, when you're above the break, let's just see if there's another option first before you start shooting for, you know, however many threes per game. Those types of things. Can he connect to these guys? So when he calls them into the office, you can have a conversation. And maybe some guys won't agree, but it's been my experience that being upfront and explaining yourself, just in general, not just basketball, in general, helps you make a connection. You bring somebody in, you have a disagreement, or you want something from that person. If you're a manager, you bring that person and you say, okay, here's what I need. This is the situation. This is what we're trying to accomplish. This is how I see you fitting into that plan. Can you give that to me? And that person may say, I see myself fitting in differently. And then you can hash out that thing. Or that person might say, sure, I'm trying, but blah, blah, blah. And you have to hash that out, whatever it is. But if you come out, like if Udoka comes out to these guys and says, here's what we're looking for. This is what we're trying to do. This is the goal we're trying to accomplish. This is how I see you fitting into that goal. Now, what's your response? All right, you disagree? Let's talk about this and let's figure it out because we're going to have to get on the same page. But we won't get on the same page until we figure this out. Or someone will be like, yes, coach, off I go, run through the wall for you. Fine. But he has to be able to make that connection. Because what you don't want is, hey, Marcus, stop with those heat checks. And have him go, all right. And then the next time down, heat check. You don't want that. You know, it doesn't matter who the coach is. If you get to a point where you can't connect with these guys, then you're not going to have any chance to succeed. can he make that meaningful connection? I think if there's one thing that he has as a strength, from all accounts, it's that. And I'd like to see that. But the analogy that I like to make is you can watch somebody drive a stick shift your whole life. It's different when you get behind the seat, put your foot on that clutch, and try to drive that thing. Udoka has learned from a lot of coaches and has coached a lot of guys. Just because he was an assistant doesn't mean he never made connections with players. That's the you know, Greg Popovich has raved about that ability. But it's different as a head coach than as an assistant coach. As an assistant, you can focus on certain guys. As an assistant, you can go to one or two guys and just, yes, he can make a meaningful connection with one guy, two guys, whatever. But as a head coach, you've got the entire team that you have to worry about, plus your coaches, plus the people upstairs. Plus, assistant coaches are insulated from a lot of that stuff. Head coaches have a lot of burden from everywhere. The head coach has to deal with the media every single day, every practice, every game, twice on game days, sometimes three times if there's a shoot around. He doesn't have to do that as an assistant coach. He doesn't have the pressure of owners and the GM and other people asking him things or questioning things. He doesn't have, you know, assistant coaches don't have the pressure of the media saying, hey, this guy is doing a good job or a bad job. No one really questions what the assistant coaches are doing. If the coaching looks bad, it's the head coach. All of that stuff is just different as a head coach. So you can climb into that driver's seat, put that foot on the clutch, and you could be a good driver and still grind those gears. You can still stall. And so how quickly does he learn that clutch? How quickly does he learn how to drive that car? That's the connection that Udoka needs to make. A lot of these questions I'm asking have no answer, multiple answers, nuanced answers. Go to Boston Sports Journal. I have a whole series there, 20 Celtics questions, 20 days, basically Monday through Friday throughout the entire month of September. They'll be up there so you can read every one. I talk about some of them on the podcast, not all of them. I make different points in the podcast than I do in the written thing because talking is different than the writing. So check it all out. If you're watching or if you're reading, however, I hope you enjoy it. Leave comments. Let me know what you think. So I will have two more. This is the Wednesday podcast. I got two more podcasts coming this week. And then again, for those of you who haven't seen, the next 2 weeks, I'm on vacation. I'm leaving behind a pre-recorded series. Haven't edited yet, so I don't know how many it's going to be. But it'll be probably 8 episodes, so maybe 4 days next week, 4 days the following week, the Brad Stevens coaching era, a deep dive with Mike Dinan and Chuck McKinney, both of whom were partners of mine at redsarmy.com. Deep dive into the Brad Stevens coaching era and a look at, you know, basically everything that happened. So that's coming up in the next 2 weeks. So tomorrow I'll have a podcast for you. Friday I'll finish up the mailbag. All the mailbag questions that have been sent in, I'll finish that up on Friday. So two more shows this week, then that big two-week series, and then I'm back for Media Day in the beginning of the preseason. That's here. That's only a few weeks away. Oh, man. So make sure you're subscribed, and you'll get these podcasts daily, especially once the season starts, daily Monday through Friday on the podcast, on YouTube. I'd love to have you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Click that bell to get notified when I drop a new episode and share the podcast. Tell your friends, tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.